Good afternoon, everybody. These past couple of months, and certainly these last couple of days, have been extremely dramatic, extremely passionate days for many of us. Leading up to and following the election that we have just experienced, a lot of people have a strong feeling about what they believe is the right candidate, the wrong candidate. You have people claiming both sides of the aisle. Some say the government that was elected is criminal, they're crooked, they're deplorable, they are immoral, they're corrupt, they're disgraceful, all kinds of things. Everybody's screaming and yelling at each other. And the question is, do Chazal have a perspective for us as to what our attitude should be, what our position should be when we face a turmoil like this, when we have an issue as the one that we're facing, and sometimes we are not totally in line with the candidate that was chosen? What is our perspective supposed to be when we continue to live in that country, when it's a Medina Shel Chesed, when they allow us to do and to practice religion as we choose, but we do not sometimes believe that the candidate is the one that we would have wanted? So what are we supposed to feel in a case like that? So we turn to the most obvious source, which is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah tells us, Rab Chanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer, Rab Chanina, who was the assistant to the Kohanim Gedolim, said, Havim Mispalel B'Shloma Shal Malchus, a person should always pray for the local officials, for the government that happens to govern over their place of living. Sheol Malei Mara, because if not for the fact that people in this constituency had a fear, had some sort of awe or reverence for the authorities, Ish Esraehu Chayim Below, says the Mishnah, the society would implode. The society would not be able to sustain itself. It would totally torpedo. Why? Because we need to have checks and balances. We need to have a system in place. And if we're not going to have respect for the authorities, whether you agree with them or not, we are not going to be able to have a functioning society. The whole society will fall apart. The Toras Kohanim writes, Hare Machalu Mishta, if you live at a time when you have tremendous abundance, if you live at a time when you have an opulent society that is thriving and everyone has everything they want, they have Machalu Mishta, they have nice houses and nice cars and they can practice religion as they choose, but Im Ein Shalom Ein Klum, if you don't have a law and order, if you don't have a system set up where everyone's going to be able to live peacefully with equality, with a way that we can respect each other, we have nothing. And the Medrash says, Magid, and it teaches you, Shehashalom Shakol Keneged Kulam, that to have a public discourse, a way that we can actually have public representation, that everyone can understand that we're coming from other sides, but we can get along and we can live together. If we don't have that, we have nothing. What is all the wonderful society that we have worth if the people can't figure out how to have shalom with one another? So Rab Chanina, Skana Kohanim, did not invent this idea. He got this actually from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was around at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. And Sefer Yirmiyahu, he tells the Jewish people, he sends them a letter that they are going to leave Eretz Yisrael, they should go down to the land of Bavel, and that's where they should inhabit, that's where they should go ahead and establish themselves. And he encourages them to go and build houses, to build families, he wants them to go ahead and be prosperous, and he wants them to take an interest in the local government as well. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says that explicitly in the Pasuk. V'darshu es shlom ha'ir, I want you to take an interest in the shlom ha'ir, in the politics and what's going on in the city. Asher Iglesias Chamshama, in the town of Babel, in the community of Babel, that you are going into galus, into exile. V'hispalalu ba'adah al Hashem, and you should make it your business to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam on behalf of the local officials. Even though it's Babel, even though it's not Eretz Yisrael, and it's not the government that you would have wanted to be on top of you. Ki b'shloma yilachem shalom, because if there's shalom in the community, if there's shalom in the government, that will trickle down and you too will be able to live peacefully. And therefore Yirmiyahu HaNavi encourages the Jewish people at that time in that generation that they should do everything they can to make sure that they invest and take an interest in the community that they happen to live in and to bolster and buttress everything that that authority stands for. And that's what Reb Chanina Sgana Kohanim sees a precedent. And he's living at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. He was a Kohen Gadol, obviously, in the time when the Beis HaMikdash was Bibinyana, but he lived through the Churban Bayis Sheni as well. And that was the time that Reb Chanina gave the same advice. You should take into account that you should daven for the Shlomo Shel HaMalchus. So the question is that Pirkei Avos is generally a sefer of ethics, it's a sefer of integrity, of morality. Why is the Mishnah here telling us an Eitzah? It's not really telling us a moral fact, it's telling us something that is probably a good idea. You should daven for the government because otherwise things are going to get out of control. You're not going to have a society that can sustain itself. So why is this included in Pirkei Avos? And some Mefarshim explain, the reason is very simple, because we don't just daven for a government, we don't just help a government out because we feel that this is something that logically makes a lot of sense. We help them out also because we believe that we have a great debt of gratitude that we owe a government. And that's exactly what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes about, that everybody has mentioned, that there's a reason why we elect government officials, there's a reason why we're supposed to be involved in an election, simply because Hakar Satov, we have so much to be thankful for, we are so indebted, we are so grateful to the country that allows us to live life the way we live, and therefore this is included in Pirkei Avos because it is part of our ethics and our morality. We are supposed to be people who believe, who trust, and who uphold the government that sustains our lives. So the question that the Gemara deals with is, what about when you're living under a government that is deplorable? What about when you're living under a government that is not a respectful government, or a government that is disgraceful, that is violating acts of corruption all the time? Should you have respect for such a government as well? That is a major dispute in the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Beis, and the answer that we generally hold by is, yes, you must have respect for them as well. The Maharam Shik, in one of his Svarim, writes, it's not because you feel that that elected official is the person that represents you. They don't represent anything I stand for. It's not at all what I am. It's not the way I want my children to be. It's not the way I want my community to act. They do not represent me, but the position represents all of us. And therefore, the kvodo is kvoda am. The respect that we give that person who's in the position of leadership has nothing to do with what they are, because it's rather what they represent. They happen to be representing our entire country, and therefore, they deserve the respect that is coming to them, says the Maharam Shik. Ein hakavod shelo. The respect that we give them is not because of them. You might think the person is a lowlife, the person knows nothing about anything, but it doesn't matter. The respect that we give them is sheha'am shehu molech aleihem, because the community, because the country that is standing behind them is everything that they stand for, is everything that they embody. Umisha mezalzo bo, and somebody who chooses not to be respectful to such a person, hu mezalzo b'chal ha'am, you are being disrespectful to the entire country. And therefore, says the Maharam Shik, we assume that even if you have a government that might not be to your liking, that might not be to the ethics and morality that you would have held that a government should be, but yet you should have respect for them anyway. There's an unbelievably striking statement that the Chazon Ish writes. He says, let's say you live in a community where they cannot find a Dayan Hagun. They cannot figure out how to put up an elected official that is supposed to be someone that really represents who we are and what we stand for. So what should we do, says the Chazon Ish? We're all involved in the politics, we're all involved in the election, but we don't know who to elect. Chazon Ish is talking about a situation that is familiar to many of us. What are we supposed to do in a case like that? Now, he's not talking on a global level, he's talking about in a community. What do they do? Says the Chazon Ish, if you don't have koach biyadam shel yisharim lahoshev dayan hagun, if the straight and honest moral people in the community don't have somebody that they could put up as the candidate who really is in line with what they would have wanted, efshur shechala takanasim lahachshir es apostol, they should rally and stand behind he who is not fit. Why? Because the Chazon Ish says the alternative is worse. The alternative not to have somebody on the helm, not to have anybody that people are going to respect, is even worse, because you're going to have a society that cannot function in such a way. Mutav sheyitzayso dino shadayin ha'ir kedei shelo yichalu kulam ba'alemus, in order that we shouldn't get into a situation where there's complete chaos, complete turmoil. If you have no one at the head, that's worse than having somebody who might be a corrupt person at the head. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, we as a community have an obligation to vote for the person, to rally behind the person who might not be upholding the standard that we want them to stand by, who might not be somebody that we feel is the hagun, is the person who's the cut. The alternative is to have nobody. We should stand up and even rally behind he or she who might be puzzled. We find this already by Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was told in Malachim Aleph, he was living at the time of Achav. Achav was one of the worst kings that ever lived. He was a Rasha Marusha. He was the Melech Yisrael. And yet Eliyahu HaNavi is told, make sure that you give respect to Achav, because in the end of the day, he is a Melech Yisrael. He is the person in position of leadership. And it doesn't matter how much you disagree with the way he runs the country, with the way he's leading the people. He is a Melech. He is a Melech. And that's what the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu was also told. Doesn't get worse than Paro, but yet Moshe Rabbeinu was told, make sure you talk with Derech Eretz, make sure you have respect for Paro, because the Medrash says, Kol ha'me'ez panav b'melech, somebody who chooses to talk disrespectfully about or to the Melech, he who is in charge, ki'ilu me'ez panav b'shechina. It's as if you're slapping God himself in the face. So this is something that the Mishnah here talks about, and it's something that Chazal all over the place really makes sure to put an emphasis on, that it's not a joke, it's something that we're supposed to take with a major degree of seriousness. The Tosas Yom Tov points out that when the Mishnah says, having mispala b'shlomo shel malchus, it doesn't say b'shlomo shel hamelech, it doesn't say you should daven for the well-being of the king. It says Shel HaMalchus, which means you should have in mind in your tefillah the entire administration, the entire ministry, all of the cabinet, all of those who are the advisors and the confidants of the melech, because all of them are going to help sway the community in a certain direction, and it's important that all of them are highly functioning. It's important that all of them have our tefillos, and this is what Rabbeinu Yonah writes there on the Mishnah as well. Kachi darkon shel atzadikim. This is what all the greats of all the generations did. They always took out time to be mispalel for the well-being of the authorities, because it's important that we have a well-functioning government that is on top of us. And this is why on Sukkot as well, we know that we bring many, many karbanos, and the Gemara says clearly it's keneged umas ha'olam. We bring them for the well-being not only of ourselves, but we look outside of our own echo chamber as well. We look outside of our own little community. We look into the world and we say we have to be mispala, we have to offer karbanos as well for all the umas ha'olam. There's an amazing insight that is made by Rav Meir Shapiro, whose yahrzeit happens to be this week. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Chachmei Lublin. He was the one who is said to have started the Daf Yomi. He has a major schus for all the wonderful things that he did for the Jewish people. But Rav Meir Shapiro here has a very beautiful insight. And he writes that if you look in this Mishnah carefully, it says, the author of the Mishnah who warns us that we should be mispalo b'shlomo shel ha'malchus is none other than Rav Chanina, Skan HaKohanim. So he points out a very strange insight. You are an assistant Kohen only once. You're not an assistant Kohen twice. Tosas writes in the name of the Yerushalmi that the assistant Kohen has the job that if the Kohen passes away or if the Kohen now is incapacitated, he can't do the job. The assistant goes to take over the job. That's generally what the Skan HaKohen was for. So how could you be called, in the plural, Skan HaKohanim? Why was he the assistant to more than one Kohen? Once you're the assistant once, if the Kohen Gadol now is not able to serve, you should become the Kohen Gadol yourself. Why was he referred to as Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim? Says Reb Meir Shapiro the following, a very interesting historical insight. He says, if you look in Chazal, if you look in the Gemara, at the time that Reb Chanina was living, he was a Kohen. But the Beis HaMikdash was being run by people who were exploiting, who were corrupt. They were buying out the kahuna. The Gemara says that the government, the Roman government at the time, the Gemara says in Yuma Daftes, it's the Yerushalmi in Yuma as well, says it was a fraudulent system. It was dishonest. They decided who they wanted to run the Beis HaMikdash. They paid off some Kohen Gadol who paid the most money, pay to play. He was the one who became in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the way it worked then. And they were living in a generation where there was so much corruption in the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Gemara says there in Yuma they had 300 Kohanim Gedolim in the second Beis HaMikdash. How can that be? How can you go through so many Kohanim in such a short span of time? And the Gemara says because they were so corrupt and every year on Yom Kippur they died. They weren't able to make it out alive, and yet that's the way this worked. So they were faced with a problem. You have the Roman government is so corrupt at the time, and they're putting in their own Kohanim, pay to play, everybody's bribing the government in order to be the Kohen Gadol. And here the problem is they have this very well known, this highly regarded Talmud Chacham Reb Chanina. We can't ignore him. He's in the Beis HaMikdash. He's the most highly regarded. If we ignore him, nobody's going to listen to who our candidate is. So they decided, you know what? We're going to put the Kohen Gadol in charge, somebody who paid enough money, somebody who bribed us. We're going to put who we want. But the Sgan, the assistant, is always going to be Reb Chanina, Sgan HaKohanim. He's the most chashuv Talmud Chacham. Although we don't want him in charge, we can't ignore him. So we're going to give him the second highest position. And every time a Kohen Gadol died, they never promoted him. They always kept him in the same place. They said, you're always going to remain as the assistant. You're not moving up, you're not moving down. We're going to keep you in that position and nothing's going to move from there at all. Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim watches this and he says to himself, I'm living in a time where the Beis HaMikdash is being run with such corruption. Everything is wrong, everything is dishonest. Everybody's paying off everybody else to do the fraudulent system that they want to have here. And yet Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim says to himself, although I have been the product of such a system, although I am the one who's been burned by the system, I cannot become the Kohen Gadol because of the rigged system that we have, because of the corrupt government that we have, yet Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim says, as much as I despise this government, as much as I think they're wrong and they're dishonest, have a mispalo b'shlomo shel malchus. Even if you've been burned by them, even if they've been dishonest to you, and you've been the one who's paid the price for it, you have an obligation to daven for the government, even if you don't believe with the decisions that they're making. Because this is such an important principle, that we have to have a system in place where we have the community listening to a government. So it is very important to keep in mind that although we put our faith and our confidence in the elected officials and the government that we have elected, and it's something we believe in a democracy, which means even if it's not what you like, but this is what you accept anyway, we concede, you should offer a tefillah for the government, as we've mentioned. But at the same time, Rabbi Kiva Eger reminds us of something to keep in mind at the very same token. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a very famous letter that he wrote. It's in the Kol Kisvei Rabbi Kiva Eger. They have somebody culled all the major letters that Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote to his contemporaries, he wrote the following. Again, Rabbi Akiva Eiger was living in Germany, in Posen. He was not living in Eretz Yisrael. He says we have to daven for Binyan Yerushalayim. Even though we're living very peacefully in his days, for most of the time they were living very peacefully, there was nothing wrong and they were allowed to practice religion. And God has given us an authority that allows us to practice as we please, as we choose, and they're not going ahead and calling a genocide against the Jewish people, they're allowing us to live. And we have an obligation to give it back to them and to be machzer tova and to show our indebtedness, our thankfulness, our gratitude for all that they're giving us. But still he says, as blessed as we are, as thankful as we are to the officials that are on top of us in this country, and as lucky as we are to be living here with those people in charge who allow us so much freedom, who allow so much equality, who allow for so much opportunity in so many different areas for us, don't ever forget, Afal Pikin, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, let's remind ourselves, Anachnu Mitzapim Umispalalim Al Binyan Yerushalayim. We have an obligation never to forget that this is not the ultimate. This is not where we belong. We always have to keep in mind that although we buttress and we bolster the administration that we have on top of us, as much as we believe in the system and as much as we want the system to be a good system, we always have to remember that there's something even greater that we look forward to, and that is Binyan Yerushalayim. Lo bishvil tanuge v'tavas olam hazeh, not because Yerushalayim is so beautiful and the weather is great and because we're going to have beautiful houses there, but rather ki im la'avodas Hashem b'meheira ba'avodas ha'karbanas b'hechal Hashem, because we have an existence that we look forward to that is so much greater than anything we can ever imagine here in Chutz La'aretz. And this is something Rabbi Akiva Eiger reminds us of, that although we keep in mind the fact that it's important to always remember that supporting the elected officials and the government and respecting them is not just because of who they are, but rather because of what they represent. And it's an obligation that we have, and it's the Hakaras HaTov that they deserve, and it's so much of what we stand for and what the Jewish people believe in. We should never lose sight of the fact that we have something even greater that we always have to incorporate into our tefillos as well, and that is that as blessed as we are in our generation to have all the unbelievable opportunity that our country gives us, we always have to remember that we have something even greater that we look forward to, and something even more that we are mitzapah liyeshua to binyan Yerushalayim. Yi ratzon shenizkeh. We should have that opportunity once again to come back and see benachamas Yerushalayim, and to have the opportunity to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam b'Heichal Hashem. Rav Hanani ben Akasha Omer, Ratzon HaKadosh.